Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of The Cloud Leopard's Daughter, The Smuggler's Wife, Book 4. Written by Deborah Challoner and read by Louise Crawford. In memory of my dearest friend, Mary Ellen Nichols, 1945 to 2016. Prologue. Sydney, November 1856. The moment the gangway hit Queen's Wharf, Amber Farrell shot along it like a rat down rigging, her plait flying, the tail of her shirt flapping loose from her trousers.
Oi!
Her father, Captain Rion Farrell, shouted.
Come back here! Where do you think you're going?
Amber skidded to a reluctant halt.
To find Bow? Not on your own, you're not. You wait till someone can go with you.
Amber's mother, Kitty, appeared at the gunwale.
And you're not going ashore looking like that. Come back and put on a dress. Ma, it's only Bow. She won't care.
Perhaps not, but I do. Come on, back you come. Amber looked mutinous, as if she might just turn and run off anyway. But after a long, pointed glare at her parents, she sighed and stomped back up the gangway.
I am 16, you know,
she muttered as she stalked past her father.
I hardly need a chaperone. You damn well do,
he shot back.
Tahi can go with you, but ask Kanui first. They might have something else planned.
Amber brightened and rushed off to find Tahi and his grandfather.
And get changed,
Kitty called after her. She wasn't having her daughter gadding about Sydney looking like a ruffian.
I blame you,
Rion remarked benignly. Startled, Kitty asked, what for?
Her headstrong ways.
Me? She gets that from you, not me. Amber was soon back, dragging Tahi by the hand, which he clearly didn't mind in the least. Haunui followed, carrying his and Tahi's sea bags. The Katapo had picked them up from Paihia a fortnight earlier, where Rion had taken on a cargo of timber, and they would remain in Sydney when the Katapo left, as Haunui had business to attend to on behalf of his iwi. They would make their own way back to New Zealand after that. Rion eyed Amber and Tahi suddenly doubtful.
What if there's trouble? Think you can look after her, boy?
Tahi puffed out his chest.
Of course I can.
He nodded at his grandfather.
Corrie's been teaching me how to fight. I'm the best at the taiaha and the mere in the village, eh, Corrie? For my age group anyway. And the best shot with a musket.
But you don't have a musket, Rion pointed out.
Still the best, though.
Tahi, Kitty knew, was desperate for time alone with Amber. He'd been in heaven for the past fortnight, cloistered aboard the Katapo with her. He utterly adored her, and had since they'd met when they were both 4 years old, and she'd pushed him over on the sand at Paihia. Admittedly, he'd cried then, but after recovering from the indignity, he'd been charmed by her, and had remained charmed ever since. Now, Kitty suspected, his infatuation had increased, fed by lust as he grew older. They had so much in common, both orphaned at a young age, and both children of Maori mothers and Pākehā fathers. No one knew who Amber's real father was. Tahi had been Kitty's uncle, the miserable and unlamented Reverend George Kelleher, whose moss-covered bones had lain undiscovered for years in a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?